Let the church say amen. Amen. Call him up. Call him up. I'm glad that was a chosen song, because that's what we're going to talk about, calling him up. We're going to talk about unanswered prayer. And I speak this morning to those of us who are Christians. Sometimes we don't get our prayers answered either. Sometimes we need to understand a little bit better just what God does when He just doesn't answer us, what He may be saying. He may be saying yes, no, or just wait for a little while and go straighten up some matters out. But nevertheless, we want to talk about unanswered prayer this morning. If you read your bulletin this morning, there's a couple of items in there on the 6th, Sister Smith, and condolences to Brother Oscar Smith and his wife for their family members who deceased or expired on last week. So we're praying for both of those families and for all of those that are sick and shut in. Let us remember all of those who are sick. And you know what? Speaking of calling up, call up somebody when you know that they're sick and just say, hello, how you doing? Can I do anything for you? I'm going now. Bye. I mean, even if you just do that, at least you made contact with the sick person. And nothing makes a person feel better than to know, a sick person feel better than to know that someone does care about them. Someone is on the other end. Sister Evelyn Wilson, who many of you may not know by name, but who sits toward the back, she's dealing with the diagnosis that her father has received, and she's asking the church to continue to pray for her. And we're going to pray for her, and we're going to pray for all of those that are sick. And we're going to also pray on behalf of someone who asked that she needs prayer because she is looking for an apartment. So let us just remember to pray for everybody and everything and all the time, I should say. So let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank you this morning, O Lord, that you have blessed us. You have given us life, one more opportunity at life. You have given us our health, one more opportunity at health and strength. You have given us food, shelter, and clothing. Thank you, O Lord. Father, we come praying this morning for this congregation in particular. We pray for all the congregation, but we pray in particular for this local congregation, because this is where we are a member of, and we want to see the best that you can offer us, O Lord. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray and thank you for everything and so much, O Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to intervene for us now, O Lord, as we go through this life. We ask that you be there for us in our times of need and even in our times of wants and desires, O Lord. We just pray that if it be your will, that you would grant unto us the things that we ask you that are not selfish things and that are made in the right praying, in the right prayer frame of mind, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are doing the best they can to raise their children. And we thank you, O Lord. We pray for the mean streets of this city in which we live. And we pray for those who are our protection in the street, our police officers, our judges, our court systems. And we just pray, O Lord, that all would be found well with the people who serve and protect us. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who in calling upon your name this morning that are asking you for whatever it is they need. We pray, O Lord, that their desires and wishes might be granted, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the church members at large in this auditorium today. And we pray for their families as well. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray and ask you continue to bless each and every one of us, O Lord. Now bless us, Father, as we proceed into your services this morning. Bless us all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, amen. All Christians should be concerned about unanswered prayers. They may indicate there is a breakdown between you and God. Today's message may hopefully be helped to see some of what we can do or some of what we may offer God in terms of our prayer. Praying is so important to the Christian that there is no way to talk to God without prayer. As important as praying is, sometimes it seems that God does not answer us. Sometimes it seems as though God is not hearing us. No matter how sincere we pray and no matter how right the things we pray for, but it just seems sometimes that God doesn't hear us. Maybe today, maybe we can get an answer to why He may not be answering our prayer. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Word of God can and will answer all of our questions that we may have about life? For it was hundreds of years ago, or even thousands of years ago, that the preacher wrote the words that still ring true today as they were back when he said it in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9, where he said, "There is no new thing under the sun. Whatever one may need to speak to the Lord about, God has already heard it before. God already knows what you're going to talk to Him about, but He needs us sometime to just make a way to get to Him and ask Him for whatever it is that we need." But the reason that God may not be answering prayer is because maybe we're asking wrongly. In verse number 3 of James chapter 4, look at the James chapter 4 verses 1, 2, and 3. But in particular, notice verse number 3. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." So that word amiss, that means maybe we are asking for all of the wrong motives. We're asking with all of the wrong motives and with all of the wrong reasons. This is what's happening in our text, where they were asking with wrong motives. And the text says, once again, that they were asking amiss. Many times our prayers are not answered because we don't have a Christian relationship with the one we're asking, whom is God. If, for example, your children only show good intentions when they need something, never having a one-on-one conversation without needing something, then how apt are you to answer them and give them what they're asking you for? Well, God has the same thoughts, perhaps. When we don't ask in God-felt, religious and Christian manner, there are some things that you need to understand about asking God. When your children don't have that one-on-one talk with you anytime other than when they want something, and you decide, am I going to grant what they ask? We as God's children may be thanking Him each and every day for what He has already done for us. In Isaiah chapter 55 in the verses number 6, the Bible tells us to seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. We sometimes wait until troubles come our way before we call upon Him. And in many cases, we are the cause of these troubles. We leave the comforts of God sometimes. We leave God's comfort zone and we leave our comfort zone because we don't feel that God knows exactly what's going on with our lives. But I can tell you this morning that God knows everything about your life. God knows all about my life and He knows all about your life. When we stay with the Lord, we can go to Him with all of our cares. According to 1 Peter chapter 5 and 7, He said, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." We can't ask God to be true to us when the only time we pray are for selfish reasons or in times of trouble. We must learn to pray for others as well as yourself. We must learn to pray for other souls because every soul needs to be saved. We must pray for grace. We must pray for love. And we must especially pray for wisdom. When you don't get your prayer answered, you need to examine your prayer life. You need to examine your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes it's because we're asking, as verse number 3 says, for all of the wrong reasons or the wrong motives. But then there are other reasons too. Sometimes it's because of your home relationship. You know, every now and then I like to visit married folk. I like to visit them from the pulpit, at least there is. Every now and then I like to speak to the married folk. And even if you are not married, you can hear my words. Even if you are thinking about getting married, you might need to hear these words. And if you think marriage is in the distant future, you still might learn from something I'm about to say. A lot of us don't seem to understand, according to 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7, where it says, likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And I want you to watch this part. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And there are three lessons here in that text that I want you to hear. Especially if you're married, you need to know lesson number one. The wife is the weaker vessel. We are to honor her and take care of her. Lesson number two, that you may live together as a team, and that your prayers, number three, that your prayers may be answered and not hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. Brothers, I want to speak to you for a moment like I often do when I get to this point when I'm talking about marriage. If you want your prayers to be answered of God, you need to treat your wife right first. And I know that the husband is the head of the home, but your wife is your helpmeet. Now, what does that mean? That means she's put here to help you, and you took her because you wanted some help in your life. So you've got to learn to get along with your wife, just as Christ did when he got along with the church. They were a team in Ephesians 5, around verse number 24. We must become a team. You know, I don't know how many of you may be sports fan, but I'm a baseball fan, and I unfortunately root for the North Side team. And the North Side team haven't won a World Series in 103 years, I believe it is. But you know something? It might be because they're not playing together as a team. What does that mean? Well, that simply means that somebody wants all the fame and fortune for themselves, and they're not playing together, they're not gelling together as that team. Well, the same thing happens in households. When husbands and wives can't perform as a team, then something is going wrong in that household. So if your wife can't cook, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, if your wife can't cook and you can't, then teach her how to cook. And if you can't teach her how to cook, buy her a crock pot and say, honey, all you got to do is put the water and the beans in here, put it on the stove, or put it somewhere, plug it in, and it'll cook all by itself. That's teamwork. Now, I don't care how many lady truck drivers you meet, how many lady phone repairmen you meet, what kind of job a lady has, the Bible says she is the weaker vessel if she is a wife. And so we must treat her that way. What does that mean? That means we are to honor her and give her all the honor that's due to her. No matter how far you go, and no matter how far a woman goes, God says she is the weaker vessel. And if we want our prayers to be answered, we must start at home. Get your home life right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And so when Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, then we go over to Ephesians chapter 5, especially around verse 24, where the Bible says, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Ladies, if you want your prayers to be heard and answered by God, you've got to be on that same team that I just spoke about. You've got to be part of that team with your husband. Prayer is good. But an answered prayer is even better, isn't it, church? And you know, a lot of times all we pray for is, Lord, I don't feel good. I don't think that I'm ready to do this or do that, Lord, because I'm just not feeling good enough. And you'll pray for yourself, and then you'll ask other people to pray for you because you're not feeling. And there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with asking prayer, sending up prayers to ask God to help you feel better. But sometimes we ought to just go back to the Lord and thank Him for you made me feel much better today, Lord, than I felt on yesterday. And it's good to revisit that same prayer and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you because you blessed me. I feel much better now. But a lot of us, when we start to feel better, that's the end of our prayer conversation. We don't no longer need to pray, we say, because I feel much better now. And I'm doing all right. But look at verse number 4 of our text once again. In James chapter, look at verse James chapter 4, verses 2 and verse 3. Ye lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not. Guess why? Because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that they may be that ye may consume it upon your lust. So if you want to get at God to answer your prayer, you got to make sure you're in the right frame of mind, and that starts at home. When we live according to the Word of God, we can kind of expect God to answer our prayers, provided we are living righteously. Another reason that sometimes we may not get answered prayer is because we're unforgiving and unbelieving. We're full of unforgiving and unbelief. Some folk want God to answer and forgive all of their faults, their prayers, but yet they don't want to forgive one another for their faults. Now, what do I look like asking God to forgive me for kicking you when you kicked me? I didn't forgive you. But yet, we ask a lot of times, God, I'm in trouble right now, Lord, and I need you to forgive me and work on me. But you see, you need to ask God to forgive you to make you a stronger individual sometimes. You need to be strong enough to say to somebody, I was wrong. And I know that I was wrong, and I want you, Lord, to forgive me and make me a better person, make me a stronger person, make me be the kind of person that you want me to be. See, it's not about what I want, but it's what God. Do you remember Jesus when he went to the garden and he prayed? What did he say? Not my will, but your will. So ask God to grant you that his will be done through you and in you. In Mark chapter 11, starting around verse number 22, but in verse number 26, go over with me, if you will, over to Mark chapter 11 and verse number 26. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 26. In Mark chapter 11 and verse number 26, watch what the Bible says. It says, you can go up and read from 22 on, but I'm just going to pick up 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. If you want forgiveness, you've got to learn to forgive. If you want to be forgiven by God, you've got to learn to forgive me down here. And you see, we don't have any control over God. God has control over us. Now, I can dictate if I'm going to get up tomorrow morning, say, for example, and go to work. If I worked, I would make a decision if I'm going to get up and go to work. But God controls my whole being, my entire life, not just one day at a time. But God controls everything from beginning to end. If you allow Him to, you'll follow His will. And I like to talk about prayer. I like to talk about prayer, number one, because that's the way that we reach God. Number two, that's the only way that God will answer us is through prayer. And finally, number three, without prayer, I often ask this question, where would we be without prayer? We must forgive others when we have anything against them. And I know folk that have been in the church for 30 and 40 years who will tell you in a minute, oh, I don't like him. I don't like him because years ago, how many years? 20 years ago. I didn't like something he said to me back then. Well, you'd have forgotten what he said back then. But yet you're still holding that same old grudge. Now, what would it be like if God held a grudge against you for 20 or 30 years? Wouldn't that be something? But God is apt to forgive us when we go to him. We must forgive those who have trespassed against us. In other words, if I petition God for my own forgiveness, I need to be willing to forgive others. God wants us sometimes to straighten out things with others before we ask Him for something. In Matthew chapter 5, around verse number 23 and 24, Matthew chapter 5, around verse 23 and 24, look what the Bible says. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. In other words, right back to that same thing. You've got to forgive folk. I can't impress upon that enough upon you. See, when you don't forgive folk, that shows sometimes a lack that all the time shows a lack of love, because you're not loving that person enough to forgive them. You know, and church folk are good for this. Church folk like to pretend that they love everybody. They like to pretend that I love everybody except him. But you know, we've got to love everybody. Whether you like them or not, you've got to love them. You don't have to like everything they do. They may not live the same kind of life. I saw him staggering down the street last week, and he was drunk as he could be. But you still got to love him. That ain't got nothing to do with your life. Your life dictates, just like we talked about giving this morning. Giving has there's a reason behind giving. So there's a reason behind us loving our brothers and our sisters. When you can't love me, how can you say you love God and you're not doing what He told you to do? You've got to accept the fact that when we put our faith in the Lord, we are saying, Lord, I know that You are able to deliver me and take care of me through everything and through all things. You know, I know that You can deliver what I ask. We must also pray with understanding, according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 15. We must pray with sincerity, according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And we must pray in the name of Christ, according to Colossians 3 and 17. And lest we forget, most importantly of all, we must pray in Christ. That's Colossians 3:17. We must pray always in Luke 18 and verse number 1. Some of us, when it comes to praying always, that's where we lose faith and heart at. I don't think God meant for me to pray to Him all the time. Well, the Bible says pray always. And if you're not praying to God, let me ask you, who would you be praying to? So I asked the question this morning, are you in verse number 4 of James chapter 3? Are you asking and receiving not because you ask amiss that you may consume it up on your life? In other words, are you asking for evil things? Are you asking for things that will benefit only you and the flesh? Are you asking God to bless you, to give you grace and His mercy that it may continue with you? These are some of the ways this morning that I ran through that, and I know I covered them kind of quickly. I didn't intend to spend a whole lot of time, but I perhaps spent a little bit more time than you wanted me to spend. But nevertheless, God is good. All the time God is good, and God is good. All the time God is good, and God is good all the time. And it may not be that the Lord is not answering your prayer. Let's get this straight. God may just have a different message for you rather than the message that you wanted Him to answer. He may just be telling you that something is not right in your life. Something is going the other way instead of the right way. Something may not be just what you want it to be. Something may not be what God intended for it to be. But when we ask God for something, and we ask in faith, you must have faith. Because with faith, that's where you expect God to answer you. What good is it to fall on my knees and say, Lord, I'm going to ask you this anyway, but I don't really believe you're able to deliver it to me. What good would that be? You've got to ask with faith. You've got to expect that God is going to answer you. You've got to expect in faith that God is going to say, all right, I'll grant you this. And like I often say, don't ask Him to do things like make sure that lottery ticket in your pocket is a winner. That's not what God is, not in that business. And if you're sitting there writing a bad check, don't expect God to cover that check for you either. Those are the kind of things that you ask in a mist. You're asking, you know you don't have money in your account, so why write the check? God, if you just float this check for a few days, I'll be all right then. But when you ask God for something, expect an answer and have faith that He will answer. Look at verse number two of the text again. It says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You've got to ask with righteousness of mind and with faith. And I oftentimes say that how wonderful it is to know a God that, to know that the God, I should say, not a God, but the God that can answer everything that you ask Him if He chooses to. And then, as we look at praying, we got to remember that we must pray always. I've already stated that in Luke 18 and 1, but you've got to remember that praying should not be something that you dread doing, but it should be something that you always do. And about everything. A lot of folk will pray when they're getting ready to eat. And they think that takes care of the whole day. Lord, bless this meal that I'm about to eat. But that's not going to take care of the whole day. There are other things that surpass that part of your life on a daily basis. You've got to ask the Lord to bless you in everything. He already told us that He would supply all of our needs, but He expects to hear from us from time to time. Then when we have done all that we can do, when we have asked God for the best, we just got to sit back and wait for the answer. And I tell you this, I caution you on this part. Don't stop praying because you've asked Him one time. Don't stop praying because you think that God is not going to answer you. You've got to ask yourself the question, am I in the right faith to see when God has answered me? I often use the text of when Peter was in jail and the church was praying for him. They were looking for him, and guess where he was at? He was outside the gate already. God had already delivered him. But sometimes we're just not clear enough to see the answer. And so I say to you once again that church, prayer is the only way that we can reach God. Prayer is the only way that God will answer us if He chooses to. Prayer is what God expects the Christian to do. When we get to the stage in our lives, you know, and one of the things I've found to be true is that people have a hard time admitting that they're getting old. It's hard for some people to accept the fact that I'm getting older and I need to change my life. It's hard to accept the fact that I can't do what I used to do. But you know something? You ought to thank God every day for the age that you are. You ought to thank God every day that He brought you to the point that He brought you to. I know that God is not pleased with us all of the time, not all of us all of the time, but God is still good all of the time. And when God is good to us, what's wrong with us turning a favor around and being good to Him? Pray about it. Pray about this, that, and all things. Pray about everything in your life. Pray that God will bless you to make righteous decisions. Pray that God will bless you to be a success in whatever you're trying to do, especially on your job. And if you're married, once again, pray that your marriage will become a teamwork probability. Pray that God will bless you and your family. Pray that God, and especially us with our kids today. Pray that God will take care of your children. Pray that God will bless them while they're out and about in the street. You know, it's dangerous for our young folk today. It's dangerous for them because they live in a society where society is not kind to them. Pray that God will watch over them. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, all right, you know not to be out there too long. You know how bad the streets are. And the streets wasn't half as bad back then as they are now. But I told them up front, I'm not going to stay up waiting for you. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to lay down and try my best to go to sleep. But I'm going to pray that He brings you back in. But I've already told you it's dangerous, so you need to consider the fact and be careful out there. But thank God that He has blessed me to have my kids to grow up and become adults in this life. And I know that you have blessings that you ought to thank God for about your children just as well as me. If they made it to that a good ripe age, thank God for that. If they're still on their way up, pray to God for them. And while I'm here this morning, while we touched on Bible school and in Bible school on giving, I'm going to ask you again about giving. I'm going to mention to you again about giving. Pray and ask God to show you how to give the right way. And He's already given us an answer to that in the Scripture. I told you everything you need to know God has got an answer for in the Scripture. You've just got to read it. Give as you have purpose in your heart. Now, I don't want you to give to the church if you don't want to give to the church. You've got to want to give to the church. You've got to have a good heart for giving to the church. And you know what you can't say? You can't say, I would give, but I don't like some of the people there. That's not why you're giving for the people there. You're giving because you expect God's work to continue and to go on. And you, before you leave home in the morning, you ought to be praying and asking God to show you the way to act in church, the way to conduct yourself in the household of faith, the way to ask God, the way to give as you have purpose in your heart. But don't wait till you get to church to write your check either. Have your check ready when you get here. And the reason I say that is because when you make a snap decision, you usually do something that's amiss. So if the bottom line I wanted to bring to you this morning is that we must always pray. We must pray about everything. We must pray with a right frame of mind. And if you want God to answer you, look out, not listen out, but look out to see what God has in store for you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repentance and confessing and then being baptized. If you are a member but you walked astray, you come ask the Lord to forgive you and come forward, ask the church to pray for you as we sing the song of invitation. Number 600.